Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow. And the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Remember last week, Jesus was in the desert with the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, being tempted, tempered, discerning what his ministry would be. He had been baptized in the Jordan River. The skies had opened up. A voice said, "You are my beloved son." And then the Holy Spirit takes him and leads him into the desert. You remember the temptations? Stone into bread. Worship me and all this is yours. And throw yourself from that temple. The whole time, the 40 days, Jesus is confused. He doesn't know what he's going to do. Where is he being led? What is he going to do with this great news of being loved by God? This week, we see a very different Jesus. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows where he's going. He's on his way to Jerusalem. It's interesting when these Pharisees show up with this warning. We probably know from past readings that the Pharisees and Jesus are usually at odds. Jesus preaches his messages mostly from the side of love, the law as well. But if it comes down to the law or love, Jesus is going on the side of love. The Pharisees were very aligned with what the law says. There's no side vision. If the law says this, this is what we have to do. And if the law says we do it this way, that's the way we do it. And it has to be like that. And that's how we maintain harmony and God's will in the world. That's the way God wants it. That's what the Pharisees believe. So there's the Pharisees and Jesus, and every now and then, pretty frequently, they're butting heads. But here, these Pharisees are coming and warning Jesus. "Jesus, you're in danger. Herod wants to kill you," which is probably true. This is not the same Herod from the birth story of Jesus now. That was Herod the Great, so great. That was Herod the Great. But now this is Herod Antipas, his son, who has not, he's been placed in his position by Rome. He's not a king like you would, you know, the prince becomes the king when the king dies, right? This is an appointed position. So he's not really the king. So that there's that. And it's his position is a little bit precarious because Rome gives, Rome can take away. Herod Antipas has already disposed of John the Baptist because John the Baptist was speaking out against him. Jesus was a follower of John the Baptist. Jesus is also spreading messages of repentance. Herod Antipas is probably taking that a little personally. So it would not be against Herod Antipas' mindset to want to get rid of Jesus. But we have to question these Pharisees. Were they planted there? Are they really looking out for Jesus' best interests? There's probably some kind of connection. And I think Jesus knows it because what does Jesus say? "You go tell that fox." He knows that they know how to reach Herod Antipas to give him this message. And the message is a very clear message that says that that 40-day process in the desert has brought him to a place. Here's what I'm doing. I'm healing people, and I'm casting out demons, and I'm heading to Jerusalem, and I know what's going to happen there. I'm not going to be killed here. My mission is to go there. He knows exactly what he's doing. Jesus has taken some of those temptations in the desert. Turn that stone into bread if you're hungry. You can make your own food. It's fine. God loves you. Just do it. We talked last week that kind of sounded to me. You can disagree if you want, but to me that sounds like a message. Okay, God loves you. You can go home now. It's all done. You know God loves you, and now you can take care of yourself. Go back to your carpenter business, and don't upset the apple cart, right? So that's one. Jesus takes that. I could turn that stone into bread. I can turn five loaves? Oh my gosh. Two loaves and five fish? I can take a little bit and turn it into a lot. And he takes it and he does feed people. But he's also bringing them a much more sustaining meal, this message of love and rescue of the oppressed and justice in an unjust world. Jesus takes that temptation and turns it around because it's not about him, it's about us. The second temptation, the devil said, if you bow down and worship me, this is all yours. All these kingdoms that you can see here are all yours. And we realize that was a message of, as long as you stay in these bounds, worship me, right? Recognize that I'm the power here and giving it to you. As long as you stay within this box, we're good. The Pharisees represent staying within that box, right? They are very clearly aligned with the box. Jesus, from that temptation, has now turned and said, I'm not going to stay within the box. Because there are people on the margins. There are people out there who are suffering and oppressed. There's injustice in the world. And Jesus is all about rescuing them and letting them know that like him, like you, like you, like you, like you, they are beloved children of God. Because the empire is not telling them that. The Pharisees aren't really too focused on love. They're just focused on staying within those lines. And then the last temptation, let's go up to the temple. Here's an idea, Jesus. Let's go up to the top of the temple and jump. God will catch you. We felt that was probably suicide ideation, right? Thinking about, it's too much, I can't take it, I'm just going to end it and let somebody else do it, leave it to somebody else. But now Jesus realizes that this message of love that he's doing, this sharing this spiritual food with the people and preaching to the people who are out on the margins who need to hear this message is going to get him into trouble. And it's going to lead him one place, and that's to the cross. And he knows it. Is he suicidal because he continues to do this knowing that it's going to end that way? No. He knows God is with him through it all, and God is greater than death. So what does this mean for us today? The sermon title is, what is the sermon title? Listen and pay attention. Are you listening out in the world? Are you paying attention to what is going out in the world for those who are suffering, for those who are being oppressed, for injustice, and for those who are not being loved? I know normally I'm telling you every week, my alarm is going off to remind me what I tell you every week. Look out in the world, find the beauty, find God in the world. This week, look for those who are oppressed. Look for the suffering. In Florida, there's a new law, right? Sally's nodding, she knows. There's a new law in Florida that you are not allowed to say the word gay in school because it might be construed as some kind of support. Where's the anti-trans law? Is that in Texas? right? Little trans kids are being targeted now by laws in Texas. Louisiana too. Yeah, it's everywhere. Injustice is everywhere. Young people trying to discover themselves, trying to live in a world that loves them and allows them to go through their process to be their best individual selves are being suppressed by rules, laws in some countries. Here's in our own country, thank you, and in some states. Here's the bad news, if that's not bad enough. This church, the United Methodist Church, is kind of being used as a tool to spread these messages. You know what the Book of Discipline says about homosexuality? Incompatible with Christian teaching. Right? There are people, young people, out in the world who are suffering largely because of what the church says and what some legal authorities are taking as God's authority to spread these message of, let's admit it, it's hate. There are opportunities out there for us to refute this message. Some of you have noticed this flag I've started wearing, the LGBTQ pride flag. The message out there is too strong from churches that tells these poor LGBTQ kids that God doesn't love them. So if I have a collar on and I wear this, maybe I can help in my own small way. Maybe we each, in our own small ways, can help counteract. Thank you. I can't speak today. Or out there to counteract this message. June 4th, Sonoma in Santa Rosa will be the Sonoma Pride Festival. The Sonoma Circuit of United Methodist Churches, of which Petaluma is one, the two churches in Santa Rosa, Healdsburg, Windsor, Forestville, are all interested in having a table at that Pride Festival to help counteract this message. I strongly believe we should be there as a part of this group, as a part of the circuit's stand against this oppression and hate. So I offer this to you to think about, because it's going to come up in an ad council or something before June, whether we want to participate. I strongly ask you to consider making a strong voice in support of people who are victims of hatred. Amen.